Welcome to another deep dive. We're here to cut through the AI noise and really get straight to what matters.
Exactly.
Today, we're digging into September 3rd, 2025. It was a seriously packed day. Just highlights how fast things are moving, doesn't it?
It really does. Contradictory forces sometimes, too.
For sure. So our mission today, pull out the key insights. We've got corporate moves, ethical stuff, medical breakthroughs.
Even the environmental side.
Right. The goal is you walk away understanding these forces a bit better, not just informed, but, you know, with a real perspective.
And the sources we're using, news briefs, research reports, they paint a really multifaceted picture.
It's not just tech, is it?
No, not at all. It's the economic ripples, the social impact, even politics. It's all intertwined. This offers you a pretty unique vantage point on how complex it all is.
Okay, let's get into it. First up, a massive one. Google. And that antitrust ruling.
Yes.
So a federal judge said Google doesn't have to sell Chrome or Android.
Right. Which sounds like good news for them.
On the surface, yeah. But the judge did say they need to end those exclusive search deals and share some search data. Mm-hmm. So what's the real takeaway here? Is it a win for competition? Or did Google basically dodge the bullet?
Well, that's the interesting part, isn't it? I mean, the company was found guilty. An illegal monopoly.
Yeah.
But then their stock price shoots up 8%. Apple's goes up 4% too.
So investors loved it?
Pretty much. It suggests they see it as, well, maybe not a punishment, more like a symbolic gesture. Mm. The market's basically saying, okay, these changes, they won't really hurt Google's main business or that big money deal they have with Apple for search.
You keep the core engines running.
Exactly. And honestly, think about how fast AI search is evolving.
Right.
By the time any appeals are done and these remedies actually happen, well, the whole idea of search exclusivity might be, you know, kind of outdated anyway.
That's a wild thought.
Yeah.
Regulation just can't keep up. I remember hearing Perplexity offered, what, like $34.5 billion for Chrome?
That rumor was out there, yeah. Adds context to Chrome's value.
So for us using these things every day, what does it mean? More choice, maybe?
Theoretically, yes. Less exclusivity could mean more options down the line. Different search experiences, maybe?
But not right away.
Probably not. The immediate impact on your daily use, likely minimal. The stock market reaction kind of tells that story. Power dynamics haven't really shifted much.
Okay, let's shift gears then. OpenAI.
Mm-hmm. Big move there, too.
A very significant move. They bought Statsig, a product testing startup, for $1.1 billion, all stock.
Yeah, that's a hefty price tag.
So Statsig does, like, A-B testing tools, feature flags, that sort of thing.
Exactly. They build the infrastructure for companies to test stuff in real time, you know, like which button color works better. We've all been part of those tests without knowing it.
Right. So why would OpenAI pay over $1 billion for that? What's the strategy?
Well, I think it's really telling. Spending that much on experimentation tools, it strongly suggests they're gearing up to launch a whole bunch of consumer products.
Yeah.
Products that need tons of testing and rapid iteration. Think about how Meta and Google got dominant, that constant cycle of test, learn, improve.
So OpenAI wants to play that game now.
Seems like it. And it's also a talent acquisition, right? A very expensive one.
Who did it get?
Statsig's founder, Vijay Raji. He's now OpenAI CTO of applications. And interestingly, the previous chief product officer, Kevin Weil, he got moved to a new AI for science division.
Interesting shuffle.
Yeah, these are all signs, I think, signals that they're preparing for a major push into actual user applications beyond the underlying models.
So that investment in user experience, that means for you listening, potentially more polished, easier to use AI tools coming from them soon.
That's the likely outcome, yes. They seem focused on how we interact with the AI daily, not just the raw capability.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, sticking with big money. Valuations.
Anthropic. Wow, yes.
They've officially raised $13 billion total now. Valuation. $183 billion. Exactly. More than most Fortune 500 companies. For the maker of Claude, what is driving that kind of confidence from investors? Is it just all about compute?
Compute is definitely a huge part of it. The company line is, you know, expanding capacity for enterprise demand, deepening safety research, international expansion.
Standard stuff.
Right. Which is basically corporate speak for we need absolutely massive amounts of compute power and the best talent just to keep pace with OpenAI.
An arms race.
Absolutely. What's also interesting is who invested. Over 21 different investors. Names like Iconic Q, Fidelity, Lightspeed, a broad base.
How's that different from OpenAI?
Well, OpenAI tends to rely on fewer, bigger checks, Microsoft being the obvious example. Anthropic seems to be casting a wider net. Their CFO says demand is growing exponentially.
So the perceived future value is just immense.
It seems so. Investors are betting big on these foundational models.
And that competition, again, hopefully translates into better, maybe more available AI tools for us eventually.
That's the hope, yes. Fierce competition drives innovation.
Okay, let's pivot now from the corporate world to, well, society. Some really thought-provoking stuff here. There's this story about an activist using AI to unmask ICE officers, Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Right, I saw this, flipping the script on surveillance, as the source put it.
Exactly. An activist in the Netherlands is using AI, taking public videos of masked officers.
And trying to reconstruct their
Yeah,
faces.
using synthetic images, then tools like PyMeyes, that facial recognition search
Just
engine.
to try and identify them.
Apparently, this ICE list project claims they've identified maybe 20 agents so far.
Yeah.
This feels like a really tricky ethical area, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It throws that whole dual-use nature of AI into sharp relief.
How so?
Well, on one hand, it flips the script, like you said, using surveillance tech against the surveillers, potentially. But the accuracy, it's reportedly low, only about 40% correct identifications.
Not great. High chance of misidentification.
Exactly. And that sparks huge debates. Ethics, safety for the officers, government transparency. Where do you draw the line? Right.
Even if someone is a government official, what are the implications of putting their personal identity out there publicly? Advocates might say it's about accountability.
But the risks are obvious too. Privacy, safety.
For sure. And just to be clear, we're just reporting what the source says here, not endorsing any viewpoint. But it really highlights that tension, doesn't it? Transparency versus privacy versus accountability in a world where this tech exists.
It really does. A double-edged sword. How do we even begin to navigate this when the tools can be used in such opposite ways? Makes you think.
Definitely.
Okay, moving from those really complex ethical questions to something genuinely hopeful, medicine.
Ah, yes, some positive news.
A really groundbreaking study. An AI tool called SeeMe can apparently detect hidden consciousness in comatose patients days before doctors can.
This sounds incredible.
It really does. Tell us about the tech. How does it work?
So, SeeMe is a computer vision tool. It analyzes facial movements in comatose patients, incredibly subtle ones, down to the level of individual pores when they're given commands. Wow, so it's looking for tiny involuntary responses.
Essentially, yes. And what's truly remarkable, what the study found, is that SeeMe detected signs like eye-opening up to 4.1 days earlier than standard clinical observation.
4 days. That's significant.
Hugely significant. And its success rate was higher too, 85.7% compared to about 71% for the standard exams.
So more accurate and much earlier detection.
Exactly. And crucially, these early signals correlated with better recovery outcomes later on.
So it could actually change prognosis, lead to earlier rehab.
That's the potential, yes. Earlier prognosis, better timed rehabilitation strategies. It's not just an interesting finding, it could be a genuine lifeline.
That's profound. Think of the hope that gives families in those situations. A really powerful example of AI for good.
Absolutely. A tangible, potentially life-altering benefit.
Okay, one more topic in this segment, the environmental cost, the hidden side of AI.
Right, the energy footprint.
Google actually pulled back the curtain a bit, revealed how much energy its Gemini AI uses for, like a single prompt. I'm curious, how much is it?
Okay, so the number they gave is 0.24 watt hours per median query.
0.24 watt hours. Doesn't sound like much on its own. Like running a microwave for a second, the source said.
Exactly. It seems tiny, but you have to connect it to the bigger picture. Billions of interactions every day.
Scale matters.
Immensely. Now, Google also reported huge efficiency gains, a 33x reduction in energy use, 44x drop in emissions compared to just a year ago, which is impressive.
That's massive improvement.
It is. But even with those gains, the sheer volume, the scale of AI activity globally, it means energy consumption is still a really significant environmental factor to consider.
And it's not just energy, right? Water, too.
Right. They mentioned about 0.03 grams of Chiaro and 0.26 milliliters of water, like 5 drops per query. Again, tiny individually, massive collectively.
So even as it gets more efficient, the explosion in usage keeps the overall footprint really high. Something to keep in mind. Every search, every chat,
Yeah.
it has a cost.
It does. Helps you appreciate the scale of the infrastructure behind it all and why making it sustainable is so important.
Definitely. Okay, let's move to the frontiers. The really cutting edge stuff.
Seems good.
Tencent. They released something called Hunyuan World Voyager. It's an open source AI world model.
Ultra long range, they called it.
Yeah. And it takes a single photo and turns it into a 3D world you can actually explore and export.
That's the idea. It's pretty wild stuff.
How does it maintain consistency? Like if you move around in this generated world?
It uses something called a world cache. Basically, it stores the bits of the scene it's already generated. So as the virtual camera moves, it remembers what's supposed to be where, keeping things coherent over longer distances.
Clever.
Apparently, it did really well on a Stanford benchmark for that kind of spatial coherence, World Score, it was called.
And you can actually control the camera.
Yeah.
Like with a keyboard.
Yeah, keyboard or joystick input to navigate the world it creates. You know, what's really fascinating here is how world models have become such a hot area in AI research. Labs are racing to build systems that don't just generate flat images, but actually understand and model physical spaces, how things relate to each other in 3D. Voyager remembers what it creates as you explore. That's a big step.
The potential there for, well, for content creation, virtual experiences, design, it seems huge, creating a whole world from one picture.
Transformative potential, absolutely, for professionals and maybe even for us just playing around.
Very cool. Okay, finally, let's touch on the talent wars, because that drives so much of this.
Always a key factor.
Apple seems to have lost a top AI robotics researcher, Jian Zhang, gone to Meta's robotic studio.
Yeah, that was reported. And it adds to this narrative of maybe a bit of a confidence crisis at Apple regarding AI.
How so?
Well, the source mentioned about a dozen experts leaving recently. There's talk of internal issues, setbacks with the Siri V2 project, leadership blocking plans to open source some models.
Oh, internal turmoil driving people away.
Seems to be part of it. And if you connect Zhang's move to the bigger picture, his robotics expertise, that slots right into Meta's ambitions.
Which are?
They want to provide the core AI platforms for third-party humanoid robots. It's a major push within their Reality Labs division, directly competing with Google DeepMind in that space.
So Meta gains, Apple loses key talent, shows how crucial individuals are.
Absolutely. It highlights how these talent shifts can really influence which company leads the next big breakthroughs, the ones you end up experiencing.
The whole landscape can change based on who hires whom.
Okay, let's quickly round out with a few other developments from that same day, September 3rd. Just quick hits.
Right, there's more.
Mistral AI. They expanded their chat platform, added over 20 enterprise connectors, and a memories feature for context.
Keeping track of conversations better. Useful.
Microsoft partnered with the USGSA, the General Services Administration. They're giving the federal government free access to Copilot and AI services for up to a year.
Interesting government adoption push.
Swiss researchers launched Apertus. That's a fully open source language model trained on over 1,000 languages.
Wow, multilingual focus there. Open source too. And 11 Labs upgraded its sound effects AI. Better looping, longer outputs, higher quality.
Improving creative tools.
So yeah, lots happening besides the huge headlines.
Exactly. These smaller things, they might not grab headlines like the billion-dollar deals, but they really show the sheer breadth, the diversity, and the global reach of AI innovation. It's happening everywhere in all sorts of applications.
What a day. We've covered a lot. Billion-dollar deals, ethical tightropes, amazing medical tech, even the energy cost.
Really shows the whole spectrum.
So, wrapping up, what's the big takeaway?
I think it's just the pace. It's not just fast. It feels like it's accelerating across every sector, constantly changing how we interact with tech, with the world.
Yeah.
It's dynamic, definitely, often contradictory, you know?
Yeah.
Immense promise, but also real challenges side by side.
Okay, so here's a final thought for you to consider. We saw how fast things move, like that Google appeal maybe being obsolete before it's even decided.
Right.
If things are accelerating that quickly, what does it mean for our ability as societies to actually regulate this stuff responsibly, to understand it, to integrate it thoughtfully?
That's the critical question, isn't it? Keeping up thoughtfully.
Something for all of us to think about as we navigate this future. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for listening.
We hope you feel a bit more informed, maybe a lot more curious. Until next time.